Okay.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, good morning out there to our friends. I was just talking to our special guest who I'm going to introduce to you shortly and getting a pronunciation on her name, and she was so faithful. She was on, and I'm running around like I do on Saturdays. I usually find that if I promote a show right before the show, it helps, and then I do it after the show finishes, I'll also promote the show. But and we have ongoing promotions for Off the Shelf for those who are on Twitter who see them. But I was running around, so I saw her on because I had my studio screen up, and I just said, oh, my goodness, 30 seconds to go. So I'm excited to introduce to you our guest and for all of our listeners who've been tuning in for well over 12 years. And for those who are new, welcome, welcome, welcome to Off the Shelf. And, yes, you are listening to the winning book radio show. Again, here Off the Shelf, we've had some phenomenal writers and guests on, New York Times best-selling authors, people who come on international television shows, multimillionaire business owners have been on here, and we have another awesome deck, another awesome guest on deck for you here on this Saturday morning. And I also want to welcome everybody to July. So this is our first time ever seeing July 1st, 2017. We've seen other July 1st, but not this one before. And I hope that what you hear during this show, especially if you're having any struggles that the author addresses in her book, which we'll tell you about later, that you can get some clearance today and go out and make this a marvelous day. Some of us let ourselves get bound through the beliefs that we have. Before I go on, I like to drop a quote in at the start of the show, but I saw something today when I was promoting the show on Google Plus this morning, and it said that pain is really in the mind. We think it's in our body. We think my knee hurts or my hip hurts, but the mind actually interprets the signal from the body, and it tells us your knee's hurting. So it's something that goes on in the mind, and it's a beautiful thing as we learn more and more about how our minds work. Old things we accepted as true, we might find are no longer true. But this is a quote I wanted to leave with you, or were never true, I should say. This is the quote I wanted to leave with you. Failure will never overtake me if my determination to succeed is strong enough. And that's from Og Mandino. Failure will never overtake me if my determination to succeed is strong enough. And that's another thing I want you to think about, especially as it connects to today's show. So, again, I want to welcome all of you, and I want to ask you a question that I started this show asking you. How good of a mystery sleuth are you? And some people are really good at figuring out mysteries. Some the author needs to tell them, this is who done it, this will happen. And then also I wanted to ask you, how important are relationships to you, parental relationships, a parent and a child, an intimate soulmate relationship, which is coming up on this show today, and also relationships with friends. If you value relationships and you see how relationships, they shape us, they influence us. If you've ever had problems with somebody on your job or you felt very supported by somebody on your job, you can see how relationships really, really, really shape us. If somebody steps out of your life and you feel a void or you struggle to deal with that, again, relationships, if you value that, if you appreciate that, you may Love Pour Over Me. And you can get a copy of Love Pour Over Me in ebook or print format. It's at Amazon, Barnes and Noble, ebook it. You anywhere books are sold. If you don't see it on the shelf, all you have to do is go up to the clerk and tell them, say, I want to get a copy of Love Pour Over Me by Denise Turney, and they can order a copy for you, and they'll just call you when it comes in. But you can also just click over and get an ebook copy of Love Pour Over Me and start enjoying it today. So if you do get a copy, please, please hit me up and let me know how you enjoyed Love Pour Over Me. And now let us go and meet our very special off-the-shelf guest. And our special shelf, off-the-shelf guest this morning, kicking off July 2017 for us, is, I hope I say this right, De'Adrienne Pickett. And I hope
yes,
you correct
ma'am.
Me if, when she, when, De'Adrienne,
yep.
My
yes,
sister's name
indeed.
Is Adrienne, but she spells it different. But De'Adrienne is the founder of Reinventing Yourself Consultation. And My Life Matters, and yes, your life matters. And she is a coach, a mentor, and a counselor. And De'Adrienne is also the author of the book Single But Not Alone. And this is something that holds so many people back. Oh, my goodness. I'll share a quick story with you before De'Adrienne comes on. I visited a church, this was years ago when I was still living in Pennsylvania, and a woman wasn't married, and she said she felt so depressed. She actually thought about taking her life. So this is how many people walking around like that. So single but not alone, this is a very, very important topic that might be impacting people. We don't even know that it's impacting them this deeply. You can find De'Adrienne online at R as in road, I-Y as in you, R-I-Y, consultation, spelled exactly the way it sounds. So that's R-I-Y-C-O-N-S-U-L-T-A-T-I-O-N. And I'll do, spell it again, R-I-Y-C-O-N-S-U-L-T-A-T-I-O-N.com, R-I-Y-consultation.com. And you can bookmark it and check her out online, even as you listen to her. Share her some of her wisdom with us on Off the Shelf this morning. Welcome to Off the Shelf, De'Adrienne.
Hi, thank you.
Is a pleasure to have you.
I'm so excited. I'm super excited. I am.
Okay, it's going to be a great show. It always goes by fast, and I never get to all the questions. I'll tell you that up front. It's just a pleasure to have you here with us on Off the Shelf this morning. And the first few questions I'm going to ask you, I ask all our guests, because I want our listeners to get a little backstory on the guests before we just launch into talking about their books. So before we go into the questions about your book, can you tell our off-the-shelf listeners, De'Adrienne, where you grew up and what life was like for you growing up?
Well, I grew up in Lansing, Michigan. My mom was a single parent, and we grew up in Rio Road. It's just like a I don't want to say poverty, but, you know, like the housing,
mm-hmm.
low-income housing. A lot of times growing up, I didn't fit in and I didn't measure up, and I always been called dumb, stupid, lazy. And then there was some physical stuff going on, too. So it was a journey, you know, but my environment didn't keep me there.
Okay. So you grew up in Lansing, Michigan, and I love myself. I know I grew up in the projects. I don't know if that's when you say low-income housing, if that's what you were referring to. But look, you did the quote, failure, not the word failure, but you could say a challenging start will never overtake me if my determination to succeed is strong enough. So you got that far. So congratulations to you on that. And I'm sure you picked up a lot of lessons along the way that you can share with others to help them. So what did you dream, De'Adrienne, of becoming when you were a kid?
Well, I thought I was going to be a singer, an actress, and a dancer. I love to sing, I love to dance, and I love to act when I was little. And so that's what I assumed I was going to do. You know, just like everybody else. I'm sorry. I said just like everybody else, you know, all the famous people and what they're really doing. And most of them were singers, actors, those mentors and stuff that you had, was that's what they was doing. So you kind of say, I'm going to be a singer, I'm going to be a dancer, you know, too.
Okay. Who were some of your favorites? Who were some of your favorite entertainers when you were a kid?
My mom was personally like blues and old school, so I listened to a lot of blues and old school when I was growing up. I love jazz. That Anita Baker, you know, that the old school stuff is rock your boat.
Oh, okay. I'm surprising, Andrew. I thought you were going to say Michael Jackson, Bobby Brown.
I mean, I like them too, but, you know, sometimes it was, I don't know why, you know, that no pain and no gain, those stuff that get on the inside of that people don't really know about.
Okay.
That resonate with the most. But, you know,
now how old were you?
I was Mary J. Blige, but that was one of my biggest. In my teen years, I loved her.
Yeah, her songs were very, very, she does write very personal stuff. How old were you, Adrian, when you knew that you wanted to be a coach and a mentor?
Well, you know what? It wasn't until I'm older that it really just came into fruition because I was always talking to people. People always stopped me. But when I was 15, I had a school counselor had me write a 10-year plan. And there was, it was just a really simple plan. But then she had me do an aptitude test. And she said, you're going to be a good counselor when you grow up. And I wasn't trying to hear that. Like, I ain't going to be no counselor. I ain't know where she was coming. But she planted that seed. But, you know, I always talk to people. People always come to me and ask me for advice. And, you know, my kids growing up, they, like, hate going to the store with me because they say I always make friends. I'm always talking to somebody.
So it seemed like it just came almost organically, and then, too, like you said, when your teacher asked you to do a 10-year plan. I've never heard of a counselor or a teacher doing that. That's pretty amazing. I guess they're trying to get you to start taking those steps to make sure you've reached your goal. Of course, it's God's plan. We know that it's going to work. That's what we're supposed to ultimately go after. So that's how you got started with the sort of the counseling. It seems like it was organic for you. You said people always talk to you, and that's a compliment because that means they trust you, and they're picking up something in you that makes them feel like they can trust you. But you've written a book, which we're going to discuss coming up soon here on Off the Shelf. So who or what inspired you, Adrian, to pursue writing? Because you could have just done coaching where you did, you know, in-person counseling sessions with people. But what inspired you to write a book?
Well, when the book started in 2006, after I finished Bible school, I was writing on my spiritual journey because I always always had people in my life that told us to journal, write down stuff. And so I have like years and years of journal, but then there was time where I was so busy, I never really journaled. So I got years that I haven't written down. But when I finished school, this was more of my spiritual journey. I just wanted to document for myself my spiritual journey. But then last year, I was off of work. And, you know, I finished my second master's degree. And I felt like God was telling me to write down the practical side. Because we can have a spiritual journey and we can believe certain things, but there's work that we need to do. So I feel like God was telling me, pick it back up. It was a 10-year, it was just something I wrote down, but I picked back up 10 years later and finished the project that God had.
Wow. Oh, so a lot of life came in. I'm just curious, I don't know why this question popped into my head. Maybe it'll be beneficial for one of our off-the-shelf listeners. What caused the delay? You started the book in 2006, 11 years ago. What made you put it down?
I was asking myself that same question, too. And the only thing that I can really come up with is there was a piece of the puzzle missing because that was more of my spiritual journey of being single and alone and feeling like no one was there and cared for me. But I had went to school, you know, I finished my degrees after that. I went through my bachelor's in social work, and then I did my master's in business, and then I turned around and did my master's in counseling. So the piece was, I can have a spiritual journey all day long, but there's work we need to do.
Wow.
And so I had to learn the work part.
You said that twice, so I'm gonna pay attention to each time you say that. Now, I want to ask you this, the agent, because some of us, and then we're all on a journey, and I think some of us, some people I've observed, they want somebody else to almost live their life for them, and it could be that's when we blame other people, and some of us, if we could get away with sitting in front of the TV all day and just snacking or eating, there are people I think who would spend their whole life doing that. And then getting them going to the mall every now and then, and that's it. That's it. It's almost like they don't realize their life has a mission or a purpose. So, and then some of us, as your book addresses, we're waiting on this special person to come along, and then we're going to start to live our life. But I believe when the Lord gives us life, that's when you're supposed to start using it. So when you look at somebody who says, I'm waiting for this special person, or I want somebody else to live my life, and if I don't like how it turns out, I'll just blame them. I'll blame my parents. I'll blame these people because it's not my job to live my life. Some of us really seem like we think that way. And then there are other people on a journey. I made mistakes. I'm not there yet. I'm feeling stuck. I don't know which way to turn. So I'm going to get still, get quiet, meditate, go to the Word, whatever. I'm responsible for my life. And they may be in a different spot. But there's so many of us who don't feel like we had a power to live our own life. So I want to ask you this. Based on your experience, is it true, DeAdrian? Is it really, really true? Do we really hold the key to our future? Or do external experiences in our childhood, does our childhood determine our future? And why do you say this?
Okay, I'm going to address the things that's in the book, if you don't mind. The book, it says single but not alone. But I do have some sections in there speaking solely towards single and being in relationships and this and another. But singleness is a mindset. Because even when I was married, I felt single and alone, like no one cared. When I had children, no one cared. But this is our single journey. We have people around us, but we have a single journey. And in the book, I talk about we have to step up and take a responsibility for the part we play in our journey. It's nobody. There's things that happen to us, and there's that's within and without our power control. But even in the things that are outside our power control, we get to determine how it plays out. We get to step up and say, am I going to react or respond? And this is about learning how to take responsibility for the part you play and say that I matter just as much as everybody else, and I'm stepping up.
Wow.
This is my turn.
Oh, my goodness.
No. I get to decide.
Wow. So you're telling us, and I'm trying to speak for listeners, people on different parts of the journey, and then I think back over my own life as well, and when I was in as far along in my journey as I am now. Are you telling me, again, I'm asking questions as if I'm speaking from a different perspective, are you telling me that if I had a horrible childhood, to Adrian, that it can't keep me from a great future?
No, those are stepping stones, and I address facing the good, bad, and the ugly. There's some people that spoke negative over your life, the people that you're supposed to trust the most, the people that are supposed to love you the most, they hurt you. But you know what? They hurt you because they're going off their pain. I said, I wish I knew back then that somebody would have told me people can only give you what they have. So as parents, come with manuals. My mom would come with a manual. She was functioning in her journey the best that she knew how. And so that's the way that she thought that was her, how her journey was supposed to be. I don't agree with the actions behind it, but more I learned her story, I kind of understood her. And I understand she only could give and do what she did. Because I grew up, you know, we got whoopings. my mom didn't let other people, you know, discipline us and this and another, but she did a darn good job of herself. You know, I don't agree how she did it, but she did what she knew. And so as growing up, I didn't like that. And I said that I did not want to do that when I had my children. But in essence of becoming my mom, I became my mom without realizing. But then when God got a hold of my heart, said, you know what, baby, back down, stop. That's not right. He softened my heart. And I had to purposely learn something different. I took classes to learn something different. Because if you don't take time to learn something different, you will keep doing the same thing over and over, hoping for a different result, but you won't get it. Because you didn't take the time to find out and figure out for yourself. People can do stuff to you, but you get to determine how it will play out in your life.
Wow. Can you give us a brief synopsis before we go into more detail on Single But Not Alone? Just give our listeners a brief overview. Is this a novel? Is it nonfiction? What are some of the – you've told us a few of the topics you address in the book, but if you could just give us a brief synopsis of Single But Not Alone.
Well, it's about your personal journey, stepping up and knowing who you are, what you want, and taking responsibility for the part you play. Like you said, you know, we can follow people and say, oh, they did it, but no, you said yes to the mess. So it's time for you to say, okay, let me clean up my mess. Let me know that I'm valuable just as much as everybody else. People that I fight for, I should fight for myself because I have dreams and I have visions. Just like everybody else, taking yourself off the back burner and say, I'm choosing to live on purpose, and I'm choosing to work on the things that I don't like in my life to get the life that I was created for.
Wow. So Single But Not Alone, I'm curious, what you said it was some experiences that you had personally. What specifically inspired you to write this particular book? And is this your first book?
Yeah, well, I have the two. I have the Single But Not Alone, then I got the Affirmation Journey. Both of them came out at the same. They're not both of them together, but it just complement each other. And it's like the book, just helping us think through the process of the choices that we make or what we allow to happen, or when other people do something, it makes you think a little bit deeper. So it's a lot of think tank moments in there. I ask you questions. Like, I want you to learn how to think for yourself because this is your journey. See, my journey is different from yours. I can give you examples of my life, but how is it going to apply to your life?
Yes. Okay. So tell me again, when I'm thinking Single But Not Alone, the first thing I'm thinking is, somebody who's not in a, doesn't have a boyfriend or a girlfriend or not married. You said it's like a mindset. Can you explain again when you say singleness is a mindset? What do you mean by that? And is this also, as you alluded to earlier, could you be in a relationship and still have this mindset?
Yes, I was married and I still felt like I was alone. I was single. I feel like you can be around a whole bunch of people, but it's about how you feel. It's your mindset. It's like I said, when I grew up, you know, I felt like no one cared, no one loved me, you know. But there was people that was there. There was people that did. But that was my feeling. That's how I took it. Even when I was I had children, but I still felt like alone, that I didn't have the support that I needed to get to where I need to go. So it's a mindset, it's how we do it. And, you know, everybody always say, I'm not single. But single is not just being single. My thing is, you still have a single journey. no one can live your life but you. You may be in a relationship, but there's some things you need to do for yourself to become who you was created.
And that is so true. And I think you hear I majored in psychology, but you hear a psychotherapist say some people get so immersed. Like I was saying, some people say they're not going to almost live their life until their soulmate or this special person shows up. There are no special people. It's almost if you, when you wait for a special person to show up, you're asking too much of that person. It's unfair. You're literally saying to them, "Take all my stuff and you fix it." It's really an unfair request of another human being to say to them, "Be my soulmate and make my whole life change as soon as you walk into it." That's an unfair request, I think, to make that of someone. And then when you see that they're not able to do it, you get upset with the person. You just made a very unfair, a very selfish, unfair request. You didn't even ask yourself to do what you're asking. You didn't ask yourself to do for you what you're asking this other person to do for you. Is unfair. So the singleness, I'm just trying to get clarity around it. Is that singleness, I know you say we all have a single journey. Is that singleness, I feel like I don't have anybody to help me? Is that what that is?
Yeah. But, you know, you have said something that people are waiting for other people to show up. You are who you need to show up. If you don't fight for you, you have no one else. I tell people all the time, if everybody in the world go away, if you give up on you, you have no place else. You need to learn how to love yourself, stand up for yourself, fight for yourself, because that's when the other people will know your worth, your value, because you believe enough in yourself to say, you know what, this is what works for me, but thank you for playing. You got to show up for yourself. You can't wait on somebody else. This is your life. You get to determine how it's going to be lived.
Yes, yes. Oh, that is so powerful. I hope the right people hear this, because some people, like I say, could be in bondage, and just hearing this could help to set them free. Can you tell us about specific topics that are covered in Single But Not Alone? And do you share your own personal journey in the book?
I share many personal journeys in the book. And there's a lot that stand out to me, but I had a friend that passed away from cancer, and there's a subject in there about the dream. And towards the end of her life, when I went to go visit her, she always, you know, she used to always speak life into me and say, I was in a marriage. Let me backtrack. That she was like, he don't deserve you, this, that, and another. You know, we was on two different playing fields. And she did not, you know, mix words of how she felt. And then even once I got divorced, I was still just as much for him on my side for him than he was for me. I still made sure he was had stuff and this, that, and another. But when she died, watching her fight woke up the fighter in me. Said, no, wait, hold on. I deserve better than this. Even I talk about, you know, true treasures in there. You know, there was a time in my life that, you know, because of our perception of how we grow up, you know, we think differently. And there was a guy that was always coming around and said, can you cook for me and do this? But, you know, because of my mindset, I didn't see that he was actually trying to talk to me. You know what I mean? I just say, oh, he just want me barefoot. And then the thing, nope, he just wants something. But because I didn't see the treasure in myself, I didn't see myself as deemed unworthy, I couldn't recognize the good man. I couldn't recognize what God was giving me because I didn't realize I was a good thing. And then somebody said, well, did you miss out? I said, no, I don't feel like I missed out on men, because I feel like if that was the person for me, God would have had him touch me in a a way that I could understand. But it was a learning lesson. And two, I believe the best in myself and see myself as worthy. It doesn't matter what anybody else say. I'm going to constantly attract those things that I do not want because I'm attracted to the vision that's in my mind. And because I didn't know, all I really dated was drug dealers and murderers. When a good man came along, I could not recognize him because I didn't see myself as a good thing.
Okay. I'm following you. So this is, and I hope you get out and do some speaking and get in front of people who, especially young teen girls who need, because you can save them years and years of heartache. Adrian, what advice can you share with someone? I've heard people say this. I want to have a baby because I want somebody in my life who I will know always loves me. And not knowing that a child needs so much emotional, psychological, physical, financial support that is like you can't use a kid for that. But I've heard people say that. Well, what advice can you share with someone who wants to get married or have children to avoid feeling alone or so that they can feel loved?
I tell them love starts within yourself first. Because if you don't love yourself, it don't matter who you connect with. They're going to feed off that thing and they're going to treat you like he treats you. And if you don't know how to treat yourself, guess what? They're going to treat you the same kind of way. Kids, a spouse, no matter where you at in life. But you know what? Until you learn how to love yourself, you cannot even love anybody else. I think about the scripture that says that God said, love yourself, love your neighbors as yourself. And you always running around and doing everything for your neighbors, but you're not loving yourself. Are you really doing the word?
Wow.
You stepping up and loving you first, knowing what you want out of life, knowing who you are, so you can attract the good stuff that's supposed to be in your life. Instead of always fighting the negative, God desires you to have the best, not the rest. He said, you deserve the best because you're my child. So, but it starts with you. You knowing who you are and that you're valuable and priceless enough to have the life that you were created for, not the life that somebody just wants to give you. They're talking about, you should be happy I'm here. No, you should be happy I'm here. Thank you very much.
And you know, the Adrian, I was listening here in Atlanta. They talk. I'm thinking about something I saw on TV, the numbers of teens and children who are homeless. I'm thinking about people. Dr. Wayne Dyer popped in my mind. He grew up in an orphanage in his early years, and I think that's what set him on his quest. But everybody doesn't go down. Some people go down a very sad, destructive path because they don't feel like they're anything. So this message is like, you got to get this message out there. Can you share with us what it's like when somebody some early elementary steps? I'm thinking of people who feeling maybe defeated, and they may or may not listen to today's show. They might not be on online radio, but maybe somebody will share the show with them, and I hope they do. Or they'll hear you somewhere. Somebody who feels like there's just no hope, they're just going to try to just get through, if they can drag themselves through their life and just laugh sometimes. There are a lot of people, I think, in that mode. What are some early elementary steps that a person can take to start to awaken, to start to really see what they were created to be? Some real early steps.
Now, okay, so I have a Reinvent Yourself class where I go over the six stages of change. And the very first one is like pre-contemplation, where you thinking about change or somebody telling you that there's something wrong or, you know, it's something going on that you realize that, or not even realizing that something wrong. But other people may see it, but you don't. But until you realize it for yourself, it doesn't really matter. So you have to take a good look at yourself and locate where you are. Say, am I in a place that I want to be right now? And that's the hard question, and learning how to face your good, your bad, and the ugly. Because, you know, we can look at our good all the time, but you know what? Our bad and ugly still play a part of our journey. And we have to become real with ourselves and say, you know what? There's some things that I need to change about myself. So it's going to be hard and it's going to be work, but I'm worth fighting for. I can do this. And so the early steps is you really taking responsibility for the part that you play in your journey. It's not always somebody else's fault. Yes, they may have started it, but you get to determine how it's going to be finished. So those one thing is you need to start figuring out where am I really. You need to be real with yourself before you can even be real with other people. Do you understand? Did that make sense?
Okay. So let's say I'm in a place. I've never heard anything like what we're talking about before. All I've heard is people cursing me, calling me bad names, laughing at me, criticizing me, and it's really tough just getting through. And maybe I'm starting to act out in some negative ways. What we're talking about now wouldn't even begin to reach me. What would you say to somebody when they're they're feeling that defeated and like nothing matters? It doesn't matter if I do home invasions because my life ain't going to turn out to be nothing anyway. It's not going to matter if I pull a gun on somebody. My life ain't going to turn out to be nothing anyway. It's not going to matter if I get in a relationship with domestic abuse or whatever. My life ain't going to turn out to be nothing anyway. So that first step for that person, what is it?
A lot of negativity in our life, there's those small voices that speak life into you. You know, you grow up and you hear stuff that, I wish you was never born, or I should have aborted you when you had a chance. You don't have a good self-esteem about yourself. But then it's those people that spoke life to you, your third grade teacher. You know, I have Mrs. Walker that, you know, poured life into me. And those little seeds is still growing on the inside of you. And sometimes we focus on the negative, but we don't really see the positive. And it's hard to even hear the positive when there's so much negative. But those things that there's still glimpse of hope. You said how it's really the person, each individual is different, and it's that determination. Like, is this the life that I really want? You know, I could have said, accepted it, say, I'm never, that when they said, I'm never going to be amount to anything, I could have accepted it, but it's going to be the fight in that person. I said, you have to start getting some, figure out what's one good quality about yourself. Find one good word about yourself.
Okay.
When I talked to a group of girls, teen moms, a couple, 2 days ago, I had an opportunity to go speak to a group of teen moms that's going back to school to get their GED. I had them pick out one word that they can stand on when it feel like everything is going to fall on the outside of me. What can I stand on? What's that one positive word that I can stand on and say, I can still do this? I can make it. Yes, it may look like this now, but it's not going to stay this way. I can do it. So find that one word. What one thing that you're good at, or one thing that, you know, other people say that you're good at. Believe the best about yourself, because that comes with you first. But what's that one word that can give you hope in the midst of all the negativity?
Ah, now see, thank you, D-A-G-N. And, you know, I'm just going to pray the right people find this show and your message, even if they find it elsewhere, not here but elsewhere. That is a great advice because sometimes when we've gotten further down on our spiritual journey, we talk from a place where other people are not at yet, so they can't get it. You're too far away for them. They're like, you're like 100 miles away from where I am. I don't understand what you're saying. But to say to somebody, and I think anybody could grasp that, what is one thing? You could even do that with a child. What is one thing about you that you know is good? What is one thing about you that you know is good. You can start right there with the person. Just one thing. Start there. And then it may take you a while. Come up with a second thing and just start to expand and focus on that instead of the negative stuff that people keep saying about you. I wanted to ask you this. When I talk to people, I find that we are, as humans, so much alike. I've never met a person who doesn't worry. I met people who say they don't want to. They talk about the noise in your head, and you talked about that. Why is it? Why? Well, first I wanted to ask you, do you think, based on your experience, that we trust other people more than we trust ourselves and God? We trust if somebody says you're ugly, we're like, yep, they said it.
do you
think we trust others more than we trust our own selves and God? And why do you think we do this? It's like a mystery.
It's because sometimes we're looking for approval. We're looking for somebody to, you say, okay, you're doing a good job, or you know what, you can do this. And we put too much stock in other people, other people say. I just had this, as my grown self at 43, had this experience a couple weeks ago that I went to somebody because I was excited about something, and they didn't see my vision, so they downplayed it. And it kind of bust my bubble. I lost my bubble. And I had to think about why did it affect me so much? I mean, I sat down for about two because I was processing it. I said, because I put too much stock in what they said. I said, I teach people to stand up for themselves and tell them that, you know what, this is your journey as a person. Nobody got a right to tell you where you should be. But then I let this one person, I said, wait, hold on. I didn't ask for your permission to live the life I was created. And so sometimes when we're looking for those approvals instead of approving for ourselves, this is what God, and I had to tell her, I said, well, you know what, I'm going to do what God told me to do. So I had to realize, talking what man is saying to me, instead of realizing this is my journey, it's personal. I get to save the life that I want to live. I get to go after my dreams and my vision on purpose for me.
Mm-hmm.
No one should have the word over but me. But sometimes
I don't think
we want other people. But sometimes
we do want other people's.
Because you talk about like childhood stuff. Because sometimes when you're growing up, you're seeking some parent approval that you never got. It trickles down to other people. And like, I just need somebody to approve me. I just need somebody. You approve yourself. You can do that.
Yeah, you know. And a Morty Lafco deals with that, the meanings that we give things in our childhood. He's crossed over, but his wife, Shelley, the Lafco Institute for our listeners, I think they have one free one you can do, but you can bust up some childhood beliefs and go free. We talked about pain, how that's in the brain. The brain sends back a signal and tells you what something means. If it didn't send another signal, you wouldn't say, I have a pain in my knee. They say the body really doesn't feel pain. That's coming from our minds. So in the scriptures, Christ said, you don't need a new body. You have to renew your mind. I want to ask you before we start talking about the power of me. How many single mothers, you just spoke to a group the other day, you said, how many single mothers, and I raised my son, I mean, I was married and I got divorced, but how many single mothers do you think make bad relationships solely, almost predominantly for this reason? They just don't want to be alone. How many people is that the key driver to just look up with somebody?
You know what? And most of the parents or people that I, including myself, you know, growing up, you just don't want to be alone. So you accept and you allow some things because you just don't want to be alone. But you know, it's a mindset thing. You think you can't do it alone, or you think you need somebody else to fulfill your goals. And like you said, that's too much the pressure to put on somebody. The thing that they're supposed to make you happy. No, this is your journey. It's up to you to make yourself happy. And a lot of people fall in that trap of, I cannot be alone. I can't do this by myself. Yes, you can. You have more power on the inside of you than you think. But until you for yourself, no one else can say anything else about it.
That I gotta tell you, you gotta get out there and start talking, because there are so many people who still do think if they're alone, they've failed, and like they can't live a good life until they hook up with somebody. That we're in 2017 and people still feel that way. Adrian, what is the inspiration behind your other book, The Power of Me? What inspired you to write The Power of Me?
I realized that, you know, people always say, oh, guess what? You just to change, just change your thinking. And my thing was, okay, I've been trying to change my thinking for a long time. Help me. Yeah, help me figure out how. So it wasn't just about your thinking. It's also what you see and what you believe and what you speak. So The Power of Me is a 31-day affirmation where I wrote 31 affirmations. Then I leave space for you to write 31 affirmations. Then you have to answer questions about that 31. Then you have to put what picture do it look like for you, because your journey is different from mine. So how would you going to make it play into your life? We have more power and worth than we think we do, but it takes us being whole mind, body, and soul to get to that point. And we just can't think differently. We got to speak and do differently too. So this is more putting the hands to the plow. Okay, I just read it and it's just thinking. Now, what do I think about it? Okay, now, what do I need to do to make it a reality in my life?
Okay. What are some of the signs, Adrian, for those who want to start this journey? You know, the coming home, we know in the prodigal son in the Bible, he had to literally make a physical journey back home. I think ours is more of a, I do think it's more of a mind, but we do have to do, we're in a physical world, we do have to do physical things, but we just can't stay where we are and wait for magic to show up, whether, again, it's a soulmate or just some magical thing. You got to, like you said, put your hand to the plow. This takes some action. You can't just wait for something to poof in. This Christopher Gardner, who wrote The Pursuit of Happiness, he said the cavalry is not coming. You have got to do something. This is, God gave us his power to, and you've got to start putting this your hand on the plow and making some choices and making some actions. But what are the signs, I wanted to ask you, when the power of me, this can also guide our life. We can let the Creator guide our lives, our own egos, or we can also let other people guide our lives. What are some of the signs that we're living under someone else's expectations? Our whole life goal is just to make this other person happy.
You know, I had a counseling session yesterday about this thing, and the young lady was down. She was like, I just don't feel like I measure up. Every time somebody says something, I said, hold on. Who told you should be further along than you think that you should be? How do you know you're not supposed to be right where you are right now?
Wow.
So, right. To tell you where you should be or where they think you should be doing in your life. What do you want? You have to learn to think for yourself. Who are you? We got to figure out who we are. When you start putting too much stock on other people and trying to measure up to other people's stuff and then putting yourself under these limitations based on what other people say, maybe it's time to step back. Let me think for myself. Hold on. Something not working out here. I'm doing what they said me do, telling me to do, but it's not working out. It's not working out because I don't know what you want to do. You got to figure out what you want, who you are, and what you was created for, not what other people think you should be created for. What do you want? What's your passion? What's your dream?
Wow. Adrian, I keep saying it. Your message is, and a lot of people have messages and they send them differently, but there's a particular audience I can see for your message, and I don't think they're getting your message. They may be hearing things and they may not be, but you have to find a way to reach the people, and they're probably maybe in the millions that need the way you deliver the message. They need to hear it.
What can
I work
alone. I want to ask you for our listeners.
Okay.
Excuse me?
I said I'm trying to get out there.
You're trying to get out there. Your voice is starting to crack up.
Oh, I'm sorry. I said I'm trying to learn how to, you know, I've always been in on the background, but I'm learning to show up on purpose now.
Okay.
And so
I am
trying to get there, so if somebody want me to come and speak, I will speak. You know, I'm out there. They just got to contact me.
Okay, and I hope you do find that platform because your message is vital. Have you ever personally forgotten about yourself and lived under somebody else's expectations? So for our listeners, do you have personal experience with that and coming out of it, or is it just something you just read about?
Oh, no. In the book, That Single Not Alone, you don't get a whole bunch of stuff. You don't know me because God told me to be transparent, and I'm very transparent. I let people know where I came from. But you know what? It was about me stepping up, too, and say, what was my boundaries? And I let people get away with so much that I had to say, wait, hold on. I forgot about me. So, no, I'm not going to show up. Not only fight for me, but show up and speak and say that, you know what, let me teach other people how to show up and speak for themselves. So many times we live on other people's expectations and we put ourselves in these little boxes, but it's time to get out the box, baby. God got work for you to do.
So what is it? You gave us one great first step that I want to repeat earlier for those who might have been grown up in an abusive childhood. There's a book for somebody who has. They might help them to see they're not alone. It's called A Child Called It, and it's extreme abuse in that book. But when you go through those types of situations, that first step I wanted to repeat you shared, find and name one good thing about yourself. Just start there. So I think that was a great starting place for somebody who's given them their power over to another person, thinking it would keep them safe. What is a first step they can do, the Adrian, to start to regain their own power again?
And we're saying that it starts from the inside out, and we said pick that one word, but it's going to be really that person. Each person is different, and you can say that one word, but it may be it's your belief system. I can't even express that enough. And realizing that you have power to say, I can do this. What do I want? What do I deserve? It's about me. This is my journey. It's personal. What do I want? And start listing some things, the things that you want. And if it's not lining up with where you're at, you got some work to do. The Circle Maker is a good book I love. That they say, list the things that you want. List those things. You know, put it in a circle so you have a target to draw to. List those things. Like, what do I want? I'm not happy where I'm at, but what do happy look like to me?
Okay. What services, we're coming down to like the last 6 minutes of today's show, what services do you offer at Reinventing Yourself? What are some of the services that off-the-shelf listeners might be able to contact you to take advantage of at Reinventing Yourself?
Right now, because I'm in the process of doing online stuff, right now I'm just doing like one-on-one counseling, mentoring, or coaching. I have my group classes where we do for 6 weeks right now, and it's physical. Like I said, so I do the online course where I go. It's a 6 week. I go over the 6 stages of change with the person, and so that's pretty much right now. Just the one-on-ones and then the group counseling as of right now. But I'm in the midst of doing online version of the group, and it's going to be
okay.
The 6 week class. As well as a 12-week class. The 6-week class, you can get the 6 weeks, the going on the change, but then the 12-week class is you're not only getting the 6 weeks of the classes, you get a one-on-one the next week to help you process what you have learned.
Okay. Now, are you working on any new books, Adrian? And if so, can you give us some insight on what you're working on?
You know what? We talk about those griefs and hurts and pains. So I had wrote a book. I'm just trying to do the I Hurt Too. And this is really about grieving with parents and children and helping them to connect. Because sometimes when, as parents, we go through things, but we forget that our kids hurt too. But, you know, you ask why Johnny is showing out. Because he feel like he forgot about. You going through your stuff, but you forgot about me. I hurt too. So it's trying to get the parents to start thinking about, you know, I'm going through something, my kid going through something, how can we work out and do it together?
Okay.
How can we get
home? So, and when do you think you'll be finished? So that's, I heard too, for parents to remember their kids when the parents, there's a sad or grieving experience. Can I, is that going to be out like next year, later this year?
Oh, you know what? My part, as far as the writing is done, I'm actually waiting on the illustrator.
Oh, I got you.
To the words.
Now, we learn so much about ourselves while we're creating, whether we're writing or painting or sculpting. What have you learned about the Adrian since you wrote your first book?
You know what, my life is always a lesson, even today. I always say, take in, you know, all I can. I'm a life learner, you know, and nothing can get you down to the part where you can't see the good even in the bad. So that's where I look at it, writing. How can I see, even when the stuff is not going my way or people are negative, how can I turn that negativity into a positive experience? How can I use what I just learned as a stepping stone to keep me growing forward? Because we grow through our process.
Yes, yes. Even if it might be painful, just keep going. Where can off-the-shelf listeners get copies of your books, there, Adrian?
Get it from Amazon.com. That's the only place I really have it as far and create space. I haven't really, like you said, like I've been busy. And so I haven't really did Barnes & Noble stuff, but I need to get it in Barnes & Noble. And it's on the single but not alone is on ebook as well as hard copy. So, so you can get both books on Amazon, or you can go to my website and order it, and I can ship it out if you want a signed copy. You have to pay for the shipping and everything, but you can still order off my website.
Okay.
That's
if you're on any social,
copy.
If you want a signed copy, okay. If you're on a social networks, can you tell our listeners what social media sites you're on and how they can find you?
You can find me as the Adrian Pickett on Facebook. And you can find me as DeAdrian on Instagram and LinkedIn. And then on Twitter and Periscope, you can do @GDSTLDO. So it's an acronym for God Still Do. So it's GDSTLDO. And DeAdrian is DAdrianE, but Instagram don't have the apostrophe in it.
Okay. Okay. Well, we have been, and she shared some good early steps. I do like the one, there is, you know, your beliefs come in, but that early step to think of one good thing about yourself. If your mind is filled with negativity and you think no matter what you do, it doesn't really matter because your life's not going to amount to nothing anyway, think about one good thing about yourself. Just start focusing on that and stay on your journey and keep going forward. There are a lot of people who started way off the tracks and they're in a marvelous place. So just keep going. I encourage all our off-the-shelf listeners and encourage somebody that you know might need to be encouraged. Don't tell them what to do. We hate being told what to do as humans. We hate that.
Right.
So you can just encourage somebody, but don't tell somebody what to do. We want to thank the Adrian Pickett for being here with us. She's the founder of Reinventing Yourself Consultation and My Life Matters, and she's a coach, mentor, and counselor. And she's also the author of the book Single but Not Alone, and that's one of her books. She's working on a book about parents and grieving, and she also is the author of The Power of Me, which is more of a interactive work where you have to work your way through that book. You can find her out online at RIYconsultation.com, RIYConsultation, and we want to thank her for being here with us today and for the great work she's doing, and I'm prayerful that she connects with her audience, the people she's supposed to be giving her message to help set them free. And then also to our listeners, we want to thank all of you for tuning in, and we encourage you to come back next Saturday. Remember, just make a note, 11 a.m. in the mornings, Eastern Standard Time or New York City time if you're tuning in from another country, New York City time, 11 a.m. Saturday mornings, set your dial to Off the Shelf Radio, where we will continue to bring you some awesome, awesome guests. Again, thank you to our special guest, Adrienne Pickett. Please go out and get a copy of her book, Single But Not Alone. It's not just about people in relationships, but Single But Not Alone has to do with your own personal life journey as well. See you back here next Saturday, 11 a.m. Remember, you are awesome. You're amazing. You are incredible. And I hope one day you accept that as the truth that it is. Go out and create a marvelous day for yourself. Adrienne, I'll shoot you an email. Bye for now.
Thank you. Bye.